Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
You and the Little Mermaid can go fuck yourselves.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Together in electric dreams.
And this is episode 17.
17, biatch!
You're lucky that I listened to every episode after we recorded, or I wouldn't have known what that was. Because I wasn't listening when you told me about it.
Well, there are certain people in my life that I don't assume listen to this show, which is the majority of them. You, however, I kind of assume listen to this show.
Well, I do because I'm pretty narcissistic. But then again, so are you.
Well, I am too, but it's like, you know, I also listen to the show because, you know, quality control, and I think that, you know, things that happen are funny, and sometimes I forget, and yeah, anyway, so...
I just like listening to my own voice most of the time, so...
Yes. That, you know what that is? That's called pride. It's one of 7 deadly sins that you can learn about if you were to study such things.
My favorite is lust.
Lust?
Yes.
I'm a pretty big fan of gluttony. I think that can be applied to most areas of my life.
Yeah, I'd love to be a bigger glutton than I am because I really love food a lot. As you will see whenever... Actually, some of my Hawaii photos are up. I think the pictures of my pineapple pancakes made it to the... Facebooks. But,
Can we get your noggin closer to the microphone just to be on the safe side to make sure your voice is getting all.
Oh, okay. Why don't you turn that knobby a little bit, too?
Turn the knobby?
Just a little, little, subtle.
Okay.
Okay. So, we're gonna read comments.
Comments? They're at the beginning of the show. Here, you go first.
Okay. And still my husband didn't comment as he said he would do.
He's a jerk!
Tom Reed says, 15.5 and 16 were great shows. Especially thank you, Carrie and Josh, for your report on your Hawaiian honeymoon. Your encounter with the Japanese tourists who were laughing and cutting up at the USS Arizona Memorial is a good lesson for us all. For years, we've heard about the ugly American, the conceited, rich tourist who goes to other countries, treats the natives like dirt, and insists that America is better than the place he's visiting. Guess what? People like that come from every country. Since I started working in the tourist business, there have been selected visitors from many different countries who come to America and act like jerks. I get treated like a hillbilly and a serf just because, when I get a spare moment, I sweep up the trash these folks leave anywhere. They think only pathetic peons sweep up after rich people like them, and they give us needed work when they spit their bubblegum on the sidewalks and walls. As I say, thanks for pointing this out, and I swear I'm going to get you and Josh your wedding and anniversary presents by hook or by crook this week. Gee, they're only 1 year late. Luke, given my record, the stuff for you and Sarah may take almost as long, so don't feel disappointed. Thanks for the comment, Tom.
Yes, and comment from Ken Sherlock says, thanks for the report from the trip. Enjoyed the cast.
And I'll let you read this one.
And a final comment from Snurd Fling Flingy. And it says, Tile!
Okay.
All right. So, and we have one voicemail comment. A comment so nice it was left for us twice. Let me cue that up here. I believe he doesn't say his name. I'm pretty sure this is Draconis. So let me see if I can get this right.
Hey, Luke and Terry. Great show as usual for both episodes 15.5 and 16. Luke, your opinion about the new Thundercats series that's coming to Cartoon Network in 2011. You think it's going to be good or you think they're going to screw it up? Later.
Basically, sorry, Carrie didn't hear that. He was saying we did a great job on 15.5 and 16. He wanted to know in this message what I think about the forthcoming Thundercats relaunch cartoon that's being done for Cartoon Network. And I really don't have an opinion on it generally because I haven't seen anything yet except for like one poster image. You know, I'm willing to give anything a chance. You know, I look at something like Teen Titans that was done in a very anime style, and I like that show. And then in his previous message, he also asked me if I remembered, you know, in like things from my past, can I remember a show called Danger Mouse?
Danger Mouse?
Yeah. Danger Mouse.
Yes.
Danger.
I love Danger Mouse.
And, of course, Count Duckula goes with Danger Mouse. They go hand in hand together.
Okay.
So, I do remember Danger Mouse. It used to be shown on the USA Cartoon Express is where I first saw that.
Yeah, I used to watch that semi-regularly.
So there you go. With all this,
we also like the Boondocks.
The Boondocks is excellent.
I started catching up on the Boondocks because I felt like it'd be nice if like I had something relevant pop culture-y to say on the show. So should I do that?
Wait, oops. What am I doing? Wait, I'm spacing out here. What do you want to do?
That thing.
Yes. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
So,
distracting myself. Here, give me those. I'll set them down right here.
Okay, but I'm needing them soon.
Okay.
So, I forgot to tell a quick story from the trip to Hawaii. After we had our anniversary dinner, we went down into the Haiku Gardens in Kaneohe. And it's just like these... It's not really what it sounds like, because like... There's a portion where the lawn is manicured, and there's a little gazebo, and there's another little building and another little clearing. But, like, then there's a bunch of trails where you're basically, like, walking around in the jungle, and it's really awesome. So, at one point, we were going over to a specific little clearing on a little, like, run-down little stone step thingy, and as we were walking over there, a little boy says to us, "Don't go over there. There are dead bodies over there." And we laughed. And then we got our pictures of us looking freaked out by the dead bodies. And then I said something to him after that. He was like, "No, I don't mean they're out. I mean they're underground." And the other thing I was going to say is at Woodstock, I gave Luke... an Arizona tin of mints. It's like, it looks like an Arizona license plate, but it's where it says Luke, like, you know, vanity plate style, but it's actually a tin of mints, and I bought them for him in Arizona. And then I was going to give them to him on the show, but I forgot because I was really, like, more out of it than usual that day. And finally, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for suffering my vacation reports, and, you know, as I continue to take the occasional vacation, I'll continue to do vacation reports, and I don't know if they're entertaining or not, but it's what I like to talk about.
They sure bring great images to put up on the website.
And, you know, I hope I don't come off as, like, you know, like I'm some rich bitch who just gets to, like, tour the planet. I mean... You know, I'm very lucky and very, very grateful for the opportunities I do have to travel, because it just really means a lot to me, because, you know, when I was a kid, I really never got to go anywhere, and I always dreamed of going places, and just, like, I'd sit there and... I wanted to go to Disney World so bad when I was a kid. I would sit there and flip through some little magazine that talked about it. I would look at a picture of a water slide that was there, and then I would, like... go into the bathtub, and I'd, like, slide around in the bathtub and pretend I was in the Disney World water slide. And, you know, I grew up quite poor and didn't get to go places, and I'm happy that I get to go places now on occasion. So what are you pulling up there?
Well, I was trying to pull up a thing, and then I have the wrong address, so hold on a second.
Luke and Sarah are going to New Orleans for their honeymoon.
Well, that's... The reason why you mentioned people who basically can't really afford to go places but go to places nonetheless. Sarah and I are hoping to go to New Orleans for our honeymoon. Originally, we wanted to do part at Disney World and part at New Orleans, and then we came to the conclusion that we don't really have the time or the money to do both. We probably don't even have the money to do one. So there's a setup. We set up a website to help, you know, rather than like giving us, you know, like a blender as a wedding gift or whatever. We don't need that because Sarah has 8,000 blenders.
So we got www.honeyfund.com. That's honeyfund.com/wedding/Luke and Sarah, all one word, no H on Sarah.
Yes.
And help pay for Luke and Sarah's honeymoon. And no, this doesn't mean you're invited to the wedding.
Yes.
If you're invited, you're invited. If you're not, you're not.
Remember the thing I just said about me and Sarah basically being broke and having to pay for the wedding ourselves? Yeah, we are having a very, very small wedding. In fact, if you don't live in the Chicagoland area, chances are you're not invited. And even if you are living in the Chicagoland area, it's still kind of a long shot. So I'm sorry. I love you all, but it's just the way things are. Me and Sarah are paying for this wedding ourselves, literally. And I'm going to start drawing more at Key Lime Cove and Ed DeBevix now that school lets out this weekend in the area so that I can actually contribute to getting everything paid for the wedding. So, although Mishki, have you heard Mishki's shows from last week?
No, I'm not caught up that
okay.
far.
On one of the episodes, he talks about a website called, like, thatsmyface.com. Actually, let me pull it up here.
thatsmyface.com. It's a website you can go to. Oh, look. Gifts with personalized faces.
So you can send them a photo of your face, like from the front view and side view. They'll make a 3D rendering of it, and then you can order custom-made either full-on action figures of yourself, or if you want to save money, you can, like, just get the heads and stick it on your own action figures like Superman or whatever.
That's fucking sweet.
So basically, I'm thinking, you know, we could get action figures made of me and Sarah to use as our cake toppers.
Is she on board for this?
Absolutely fucking not. But it's something I want, and I'm going to whine like a baby until she changes her mind, or until I give up.
Well, she's really into, like, the, like, fancy cakes, though.
Yeah. She and I have already had discussions and sketches of what we want the cake to look like, and we even took a business card from somebody we saw at a convention that had cute little potential cake toppers. But, you know, anyway, it's just cool that between RF Moeller Jeweler and things like that, you know, Mishki really helps figure out wedding things.
Yeah.
Potential solutions. Anyway,
do they have, like, girly anime figures on there anywhere? Because
I haven't looked at this website too extensively. It mainly looked like...
looks like all males.
I'm pretty sure.
I would totally order, like, a little pink anime Carrie. That would be so cool.
I
would cherish it forever.
I don't know. I haven't... Although they got some really weird crafts in here, too. Like, you can get just the face. Like, a 3D face that you just get. Like, on a slab.
That's kind of creepy,
like
actually.
Like that one Doctor Who episode,
you guys should go to this website and see it. It's very creepy.
thatsmyface.com. Anyway.
Ew. That's really creepy.
Creepy!
That
all right.
Really looks like a real person's head.
So all of the music in this week's show is going to be artists, or either artists from Woodstock, Chicago, or related to artists from Woodstock, Chicago. And we are going to play a song, and then after that
we're going to travel to the past, to when Luke and I got together the Monday after Woodstock 8 days ago, and recorded for 34 minutes talking about Woodstock, which, as I realized afterwards, our 34-minute discussion of Woodstock is still shorter than the 36-minute rendition that Paul and Storm did of The Captain's Wife's Lament.
Yes.
That I wasn't there for, but I'll get to watch it on YouTube.
So this first song has to do with Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and it features myself and Carrie and other Fumpers in it, and it's by Devo Spice. It's called Busted. So here's that song, and after that, you'll hear us in the past, and then we'll return to the present for songs and news and stuff.
Yay.
Yay. Here we go.
Woot. We'll be right back.
in her sexy pink top again. She's a perfect 10. She's my dream girl, fantasy girl, the one I love, and the reason that I've worn a hole in that glove. Days go by and I try to say hi, but I'm way too shy, scared of the reply. So I go to Plan B to get her noticing me. I wrote a poem on her door called Otis and Me. Otis is my cat. And damn her, she didn't reply, she just corrected my grammar. I tried to juggle dribbles and she didn't even look. I guess I couldn't catch her eye without a fish hook. So I'm looking in her window trying not to get caught. I see her watching the show, this gives me a thought. If I could find some way to do what they do, maybe she will go with me. So now I'm Miss Buster, I have to be. I grew a mustache way cooler than Jamie's. I made up a list of some myths and stuff. Then I found a place where I could blow them up. Myth 1, every ISP has government spies to watch terrorist activity in the community. Deny it all you want, there are thousands of terrorists in Rutland, Vermont. Then I moved on to some harder ones about microwaves, nuns, and particle guns. I put them up good, and that's when I saw the piece of my thumb was missing again. So what was the result after all these cases? The hospital knows me on a first-name basis, but the girl still doesn't know me from Adam, or Jamie, or Carrie, or Buster Dagnabba. Was looking for volunteers, and before I knew what I had gotten myself into, I was on the set with Jamie and Adam.
So, tell me about this myth.
Okay, it's simple. The myth is that if a nerd talks to a hot girl in a non-fast food ordering environment, that his head will explode.
Sounds right up our alley, especially the exploding part. So how do we test this?
Well, we have a volunteer nerd, and we're going to set him up on a blind date with Carrie.
All right, let's do it.
Our nerd has been told he's meeting one of the show's producers at this fancy French restaurant. Let's see what happens when Carrie shows up.
Hi, I'm Carrie. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. So where are you from?
I like a 10-piece McNugget meal. Super size.
I don't think they have McNuggets here. I think the shrimp scampi is good, though. I think I'll try that.
Thank you, drive-thru.
You're cute. Where'd you say you were from again?
New Jersey!
As soon as our nerd tries to say something non-fast food related, he blows his top.
Well, his head didn't explode.
I don't know. That vomit was pretty explosive. I'm prepared to call this myth plausible.
I can live with that.
Want to be alone, but I find myself fending off freaks on the phone. Talk shows, news, and a couple old friends want to talk. Well, I just want to plot my revenge. It'll take time, but a show will be fine when I go savage on Adam and kick Jamie in the Heinemann. I'll be nice to Carrie, maybe give her some employment, but I'm keeping Buster for my personal enjoyment. I was humiliated as could be when the girl walked by me and smiled at me. She said that she wanted me to know that it was her favorite show, but she thought what it did was pretty low. I think I just grunted. I'm not really sure, because the whole episode is kind of a blur. But she said I should come to visit her to watch a show sometime. I said, yeah, that would be fine.
I'm guessing that means you like me.
This is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie in a car.
Yes. Assumedly, the show has already started and it is now 9 days later for you guys.
Yeah, so we just decided since we saw Woodstock last night that we'd get together during Carrie's lunch break at work and talk about Woodstock while it was still fresh in our memories.
Yes,
so, yeah.
I have a bad memory, so me trying to talk about Woodstock in 8 days from now would probably be like, there was some guys there, and there was a stage, and it was kind of cool, and yay, and that'd probably be all I would have to say. Of course, we're both extremely exhausted, having each slept about 5 hours each, and
you know, we're kind of going on caffeine and fumes right now.
Yeah. Big shout out to Ken Sherlock, who we very much, or I very much appreciate. He gave Kiki a ride home last night after we had dinner at Denny's in Schaumburg. So I know that Ken got even less sleep than us, but, you know, I super, super appreciated Ken. So, yeah.
Yeah, Ken was driving a lot of people this weekend.
Yeah.
Not just Kiki. There's a lot of noise up in there on that street by where I work. So, first thing that happened was, on my end, before I saw Luke and Sarah, was me and the gang showed up and we waited in line and we got wet a lot. And then Josh ran and got 3 umbrellas from our car and then we were less wet. But there was still a lot of wetness in a bad way. And then we got let in and we got our seats and Luke and Sarah showed up. And
yeah, we showed up at the same time J-Kitty did. We just stayed at the back of the line because we weren't sure if it would be, you know, considered, you know,
cutting.
Yeah, cutting for us to join you wherever you guys were in the line. So we just, you know, hung out in the back. And fortunately, Sarah had an umbrella that she had brought with on the trip, so we didn't get too super wet.
Yeah. But we all managed to basically sit together anyways. It's kind of a long and boring explanation to explain how Park West is set up on the inside, but we got to sit together. I looked at the merch. I ended up buying Pawn Stars' newish CD called Do You Like Star Wars? And I know a lot of my friends bought t-shirts. There were some really cool t-shirts. And did you get a t-shirt?
I didn't get a t-shirt just because I was wanting to conserve money, and I already have another Woodstock t-shirt, so.
I noticed you're wearing the same t-shirt you wore last night.
Yeah, because I was lazy. I was doing some internet things, writing some emails, and then I looked at my phone and I saw that, like, you wanted to meet up with me at noon, and it was 11:57. So I said, well, I'll just grab whatever's closest and start heading over there so that we can have time to do this.
Well, so that gave me just enough time to eat my lunch, so I'm not eating during the podcast.
Woot!
So anyways,
all right, I wanted to mention about the Park West. Many, many years ago, I can't remember specifically what year it was, but it was back when Keith, a.k.a. Keterman, was still doing his show Insanity on the airwaves. A show out of the Appleton, Wisconsin College Station, where he was the host along with Mariana Allen, a.k.a. Lady Omniscience, who's currently casting still on Dementia Radio. And Da Vinci's Notebook was performing with Eddie from Ohio, and Keith had set it up because he had been talking with them and had been a fan of them for a long time because he's a huge acapella nut, and set up so that we could have lunch with Da Vinci's Notebook and record an interview with them while we were eating lunch. So it was like, we went to, there's a sushi place, like, just a little bit of ways. I think it's next door to the Subway.
Yeah, I saw that place.
So, yeah, so like, we had dinner there with Da Vinci's Notebook and recorded this interview. And there was a really funny moment in it when, like, you know, somebody made a quick casual reference to, like, one of the spoons that was laying on the table. So then someone picked up the spoon and went, spoon, and then we all went like the tick, spoon, like all 6 of us together. And then someone on the wait staff was right by us when that happened, and like the wait staff started like getting all panicky, like, oh my god, do you need a spoon? Where? It's like, you know, like, no, never mind, don't mind us, we're just being stupid. So
for anyone who doesn't know, Paul and Storm were half of Da Vinci's Notebook, and Paul and Storm were half of Woodstock. So
yes,
that's how this relates.
Yes.
And Park West is the same place where Woodstock was. Fast forward to last night, which was Sunday, June 6th. Do you want to say anything else about prior to the show? I gave you an...
Well, I had a... I had a convention in Nashville over the weekend that is a convention that Sarah and all of Sarah's Nashville friends like help run this con. So she goes to it every year mainly to see her friends, and this year she got me a performance slot there, and they've never really had music there at that con before. So they were all very nice, but they kind of didn't know what exactly to make of me. I did have audiences, and they did laugh at my stuff. And, you know, I basically sold enough CD to cover the gas money it took me to get there and back.
Yeah.
Fortunately, our hotel room was covered because Sarah does, she's the webmistress of the hotel the Days Inn there in Nashville.
So oh, really? It's
like, so basically she gets her hotel room comped every year because she's their webmaster.
I didn't know she was a hotel webmaster.
Well, it's just for that one specific hotel. It's not like the whole Days Inn chain across the country. But
that's kind of funny.
Yeah, she does lots of nifty stuff. So basically, we drove down to Nashville on Thursday night with the plan of getting up, you know, Sunday morning, and then, you know, basically packing up the car and, you know, hauling ass back to Chicago so we could get there in time for Woodstock. So even though we live in Des Plaines, which is in the Chicagoland area, we woke up and drove 8 hours to get to Woodstock. So I'm kind of guessing that me and Sarah drove longer than anybody else to, you know, see the Woodstock show.
Well, yeah, but then you didn't drive 8 hours to go home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Mm. So, anyway, and then Carrie gave me a nifty gift.
I gave him a Arizona license plate. Where are you going? I gave him a mint tin with the Arizona license plate picture on it that says Luke, like as if the word
because
Luke
Carrie
was a vanity
knows,
plate.
How much I'm annoyed at when you go places where they have items with people's names on them and they never have the name Luke ever. And so she found one and she got it for me, and it was awesome that she got that for me, and it made me happy.
I don't know if you heard all that, but I just got it because I saw it and I was like, oh, a present. I didn't specifically remember that Luke, his name isn't on those things with names on them very often, because I don't have a very good memory, but, you know, now he has, awesome breath mints to keep his breath minty fresh.
So here you go.
Oh, thank you. This is my gift. Okay. Luke just handed me with the price tag still on at $1, used copy of Lilo and Stitch, which I've only seen once, and it was long before I ever visited Hawaii, so that should be really cool to watch.
Yes, the merch table next to ours in the dealer room, they had like a big basket full of DVDs, kind of doing their own version of a yard sale, just trying to get rid of tons of stuff, and most of the DVDs were either a dollar or 50 cents, so I got like 10 DVDs for like $5.
That's pretty nifty, so, thank you.
And Lilo and Stitch was one of the first ones I noticed. I'm like, oh, I'm getting this for Carrie.
Yeah, I'm pretty much obsessed with all things Hawaii right now, as you could probably tell from episode 16. But anyways, back to last night. So the show started.
The show started. Whimsical Will.
Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton came out, and...
And I'd like to talk about Will Wheaton for a minute, because...
Okay, go for it.
I mean, I think you can safely say, all things considered, that I could be described as a nerd, but I don't watch Star Trek at all. I saw the new movie version once, and, I mean, yes, I've seen episodes here and there, but, I mean, you know, Will Wheaton to me isn't Wesley, and because I never watched that show, and the thing that struck me when he came on stage, since he's all bearded and stuff, is like, wow, he's like any geeky short dude that I'd meet at any convention. He didn't look in any way, shape, or form remarkable. So, you know, and I don't, you know, some people who may, in some cases, maybe didn't watch Trek that much, still, you know, he's a big geek icon, and they may follow him on Twitter or whatever, but I didn't do that either. So basically, he's like kind of brand new to me, you know. I mean, I know his name and everything, but, you know, he kind of had to win me over, and later in the show he really did, but I'll get back to that later. So Will Wheaton comes out.
Well, yeah, and you have to understand,
it's like there was a lot of animosity towards, you know, Will Wheaton in the Star Trek community because he played Wesley Crusher, and Wesley Crusher was viewed by like hardcore Trekkers of the time as like an annoying kid that Gene Roddenberry basically wrote Wesley to be like
attractive male.
No.
Oh.
Gene Roddenberry wrote Wesley in as him, basically as himself, as Gene.
Oh.
Like this is me, young Gene Roddenberry, placed it, you know, on the Enterprise itself, and people just kind of like resented that and like thought it was annoying that like there were so many episodes where it's like, oh well, Wesley Crusher will save the day because he's Mr. Genius Wunderkind, you know, blah blah blah. So basically for years and years and years there was all this kind of Wesley sucks, you know, blah blah blah, blah shit going down, and because of like a lot of that animosity, it's part of the reason he kind of went away for a while and just went and had a normal life. I believe he moved to Kansas and, you know, he got married and he has, you know, stepkids and, you know, just, and then he eventually came back to, you know, the LA area and tried to start, you know, acting again, and then he started going to conventions again, and basically when people started showing up at the conventions during like his second wave of coming back, you know, and people were getting in his face about crap, he like basically like, you know, turned it on them and was in like, you know, basically he was like, you know, Kiki explained it in more detail last night, basically he was able to take a crowd that was like, that had a good percentage of it being all animosity, and then just through his charisma and personality, turn it around and win them over.
I could see that.
So, and then that's when he started doing all the web blogging stuff. So basically, the current fame of Will Wheaton is based a lot more on, you know, Will Wheaton 2.0, like the web blogger and all that stuff. Not so much about like, oh, we like him because he was Wesley. It's more they like him because of who he is now more than where he came from before. I mean, I watched Next Gen. I never had too much of a problem with Wesley, although, you know, some of those early Next Gen episodes are really corny, and all of every character is like, oh God, this is so cheesy, you know.
Yeah, but nonetheless, since I didn't even read his blog or nothing, so he still had to win me over just as a guy on stage. And the first impression was like, wow, he just looks like any guy at any convention. So, who came up first?
Well, Paul and Storm came out and did opening band, just to kind of get the show rolling.
Yeah, and I sort of wish they would have done more of their set to begin with, because I ended up walking out towards the end so that I could, you know, go to sleep and go
to work. The show went at least 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
So.
I was expecting, I had budgeted for more like 3 hours, not 4.5.
Well,
so
that's what they have on their posters and promotional stuff, is 3 hours of geeks and music. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, so they came out, they did opening band, then...
Was Molly Lewis, or is
no,
that
no, somebody else came out. A couple other people came out before.
Well, Tim Cavanaugh came out, and...
Oh, yeah, Tim Cavanaugh came out, which, that was interesting.
Tim Cavanaugh is, you know, a Dr. Demento's staple from the 80s, and somewhat also the 90s and 2000s. He, you know, he's from Chicago, and he's got those same Bob and Tom Show roots as Paul and Storm did with Da Vinci's Notebook. So, you know, he's kind of a peer of theirs in that sense. So having him on the bill made sense. The only thing that seemed odd to me a little bit is that, you know, other than him being a comedy musician, there's nothing geeky about Tim Cavanaugh from the geeky, nerdy, you know.
Well, then again, it's Wootstock, not, you know, geek stock, so, you know.
Yeah, well,
you can still woot for Tim Cavanaugh.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm a fan of his. In fact, he's another person that me and Keith, you know, interviewed way back in the day. In fact, I remember doing an interview with Tim Cavanaugh shortly after 9/11 happened.
Oh,
and talking to Tim Cavanaugh about, you know, how weird that was of, you know, having to get back on stage and trying to convince people to laugh again and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, I even did some Dementia Revolution promos with him, and I think I recorded my own little 5-minute interview with him as well on my sampler. And you know, he was a cool guy way back when, and unfortunately he took off, you know, he didn't stick around for the whole hanging out meet and greet kind of thing, so I didn't get a chance to say hi to him, which was a bummer. But I did pick up the CD, his last CD that he put out, which was in 2002.
Just got a text from Bill Putt. Goodbye to all our Chicago friends. We will miss you. Hope to see you soon. Don't do anything Moonbeam wouldn't do.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyways.
So you know, Tim Cavanaugh came out and did a couple of his tunes, but then he ended by doing his biggest Dr. Demento hit, 99 Dead Baboons. And, you know,
that didn't go over very well.
Well, it didn't go over too well just because it's such a dated piece. But
yeah,
for all of us old school Demento fans who were there, you know, we appreciated the fact that he pulled that old one out just for, you know, just to make, you know, us, you know, be like, oh, yes, back in the day, you know.
I'm still listening just so you know. I'm just tabulating points.
All right. So there was Tim Cavanaugh. Did Molly Lewis come after Tim?
I don't think so, but we can go with that.
Okay, we're probably going to get this out of order, but Molly Lewis came out, and according to Storm's intro, you know, she basically made
Molly
a name for...
Molly Lewis is a ukulele player.
Yes. According to Storm's intro, like, the YouTube was invented for the purpose of Molly Lewis being able to get her songs out to the general public. And let me look at her CD here, if I can find a website I can direct you to. I kind of don't see one, that's surprising.
Well, go to YouTube and put in Molly Lewis.
M-O-L-L-Y space L-E-W-I-S, Molly Lewis.
I think her first one didn't go over as well, but like she did like three different songs and people really got into it. They're pretty funny.
Yeah. She did a song about how a Wikipedia page was started about her, but then got taken down right away.
Which is the same thing that happened to Rob Balder, right?
Basically, Rob's might have been around longer than hers was.
Yeah, but was eventually taken down because he wasn't famous enough, and now it's back up.
The last I checked, the Wikipedia page about me is still there, so...
Yeah, there was still one there about you and Devo Spice and other flumpers, but
I'm pretty sure
Rob Balder wasn't famous
enough. Pretty sure DJ Particle started all of those, so... But, you know, I really enjoyed her. I thought she did a great job, so I picked up her CD so that we could play a track from it on the show, because we like it when women do funny music.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I didn't pick it up, but I'll probably pick it up or borrow it or something.
Yes. There was Bill Amend, who is the creator of the comic strip Foxtrot, which I have been reading since I was a kid.
Yeah, he came out before Molly, and so did the other artist guy who was doing the
Len
poster. Len Peralta was doing the poster for, which I didn't get to see. Is that online somewhere?
I'm assuming it is. It basically looks like a giant, like, Blackhawk hockey Indian, kind of with, like, robot-y skin, like it's a giant Blackhawk Indian hockey robot with, like, the hockey club, and he's gonna basically swat Will and Paul and Storm and Adam on the head, and there's a Chicago skyline behind it and stuff.
Just so you know, I have about, at the most, 15 minutes left here.
Okay. So, that was nifty, and then, anyway, Bill Amend came out and talked about his comic strip and, you know, the kind of geekier side of him and trying to work things like that into comics. He also did a funny bit where he had drawn a bunch of fake comics by other well-known comic strip people like Garfield and Marmaduke and
that was pretty cool. I mean, I've read a reasonable amount of Foxtrot, more from a layman's point of view than from a geek, because I didn't get into geekdom till later in life, but
just the idea of presenting comics on stage in front of a crowd in that way had, like, never occurred to me, and it worked really well.
Yeah. and then Molly, and then is that when they brought out some Misty guys?
Yeah, they brought out. It was basically the extended intro to Trace Beaulieu doing some poems from his new children's book. I forgot that it's like Silly Rhymes for Belligerent Children, I think is what it was called.
Yes.
And, but basically as the intro, Paul comes out and starts talking about, we have, you know, the, the voice, the performer of Crow T Robot, and you know, Trace Beaulieu, and Trace comes out, and then after Trace comes out and starts being like, oh yes, blah blah blah, you know, so wonderful.
And then Bill Corbett came out too, and I knew that was gonna happen.
So it was like a Crow showdown, and then finally Kevin Murphy, who is Tom Servo, comes out and starts talking about how great they both were as a way to say, yes, you both made a great sidekick to the main robot, Tom Servo.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Epic. So that was a cool intro, and then
that was my favorite part of the guys being there live, was that bit. The Trace Beaulieu thing was, you know, it was neat, but it also ended up being my bathroom break time.
It's kind of like, I mean, I'm assuming this is the first time he's done this as a live presentation, because, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they're still trying to figure out the best way to present this material on stage in a way that will, you know, kind of maybe be a little faster and, you know, get to the jokes and the images quicker.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they, you know, most definitely was funny stuff, and it was cool artwork, and but it was just kind of, it seemed a little bit slow.
Something that strikes me about Kevin and Trace are, like, they don't seem like, you know, ex-Minnesotans anymore. They're so tan and, like, they seem, like, totally into the whole California lifestyle. Bill Corbett still seems like a Minnesotan, though. That's neither here nor there. That's just an observation.
Yes.
Anyways, then after Trace, who came out next? Is that when Will came and done his?
Yeah, I think that's when Will came out.
That was my favorite. Okay, this is my favorite part of the show. Will Wheaton came out and did, like, this dramatic reading from his book where he talks about his first visit to the Rocky Horror Picture Show when he was 16 years old. So his Rocky Horror virginity being popped when he was also a actual virgin. And this was helped along with Paul and Storm doing some music and stuff there with them, and it was really awesome. And this is when Will Wheaton, like, completely won me over. And, like, I, you know, it was really funny. This is the part that, like, where Josh, like, was, like, on the table, like, his head down, laughing his ass off. And, you know, I didn't laugh as hard as that, but for me it was just, I kind of got a little choked up, you know, almost, because, you know, he was saying how Rocky Horror shaped who he is today, and, you know, like, everything he said about that, you know, I could say about myself. And it was just super awesome. It was just, like, epic. I'm almost as close as you could get. I mean, my seat was pretty much, you know, like, right there where Will Wheaton is, and then two seats back. So there's, like, only, like, a very small handful of people that were closer to Will Wheaton than I was for that. And it was pretty epic. It was awesome.
Oh, flashback to the beginning of the show. Len Peralta doing the custom Chicago poster. Paul started talking about, oh, we need to get suggestions for what's going to be in the custom Chicago poster.
Oh, yeah, that was my other favorite part.
He's like, okay, from this side of the room, and he points to our side, and a bunch of people are yelling stuff, and like, he can't
understand. The majority of us are yelling, tile! Tile! And then he can't understand what anybody's saying, so he points directly at me and said, okay, you suggest something, and I just yelled, tile! While I'm laughing my ass off.
Yeah,
and then they made fun of that.
It's like, tile? What the hell are you people talking about? And, you know, other people were suggesting things. And,
unfortunately, yeah. It doesn't sound like even a single small square of tile got in the poster, which...
There was a debate last night at our Denny's discussion about whether or not one of the guys was holding a tile or if it was an iPad in the drawing. So you'll have to, like, go look and decide for yourself
okay. What
he's holding. So, But anyway, so then I think that's about when they had their intermission.
And there's lots of nifty videos and music stuff, too.
Yes, they played three tracks from Mark Jonathan Davis's Commander solo album, where he impersonates Sulu singing parts of songs that end with fire, and then...
And Mark Jonathan Davis is known to most people as Richard Cheese.
Yes.
But Richard Cheese is actually just a separate alter ego of Mark Jonathan Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of niftiness. When I got back in from intermission or whatever, they were, or at some point, they were playing that one really funny thing on YouTube where it's like a fake movie trailer.
Yes.
But they're all like, oh, what's an example? Shit.
It's like Da Vinci's Notebook song, title of the song, in which...
Yes, it's very much like that.
It's like they're analytically describing what it is they're doing while they're doing it.
Saying dialogue.
Yeah, so it's like kind of, this is a cliche or generic example of this type of thing, and, you know, so it's, but it's like a movie trailer, I don't know if it's called movie title, but, you know, do a YouTube search for movie title, you'll probably find it.
I think it was movie title, but, So after the break, we had, the guy from NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me,
Peter Siegel. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Most people seem to enjoy that a lot. He was in a henchman jumpsuit and did this whole thing about being a henchman for Dr. Apocalypse. It was like this whole performance art like thing.
See, because I had never heard or seen Peter Siegel before. I know who he is and what he does. I just never actually had the first-hand experience. So when he came out, I wasn't sure what he was doing at first. I mean, it kind of took me a while to figure out, oh, he's being a character. Oh, he's a henchman for a guy. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, you know? I wasn't really into it that much. I looked over at Ken's 10-year-old daughter, Erin, and noticed that she was really bored, and I kind of found myself sympathizing. But I got into it a little at the end. But from the, you know, geeks with better attention spans, I've heard that was a big favorite of the show last night, so.
Yeah. Bill and Kevin of Riff Tracks came out after they showed a short film about kittens that Riff Tracks had riffed.
And yeah, that was my other favorite part was the film, the Riff Tracks about with the short film about kittens, because the cat looked an awful lot like my cat Willow, and the kittens of course were adorable, and the riffs of course were hilarious. So
I can only assume that they have that up either on YouTube or at the Riff Tracks website, so just go to rifftracks.com and search for kittens.
Or it might be an exclusive, or at least they might be waiting till Woodstock's over to release it. Who knows? But it was awesome.
Yeah, and then they did some of the songs they had done for, you know, as the Riff Tones or as previous things, and one of them was an anthem song, so they got everybody involved out on stage, which was the first time anybody saw Adam Savage on stage.
Yeah.
It was for this big anthem thing.
Yeah, and we've been waiting all night for Adam Savage. At this point, Josh is really wanting to leave because it's getting so late and we had to work and Josh is on call all week. So luckily, you know, Adam Savage came out and then
Adam did a great job too.
After that, Adam Savage came out.
Yes.
And that was awesome.
And he was talking about, he was telling the story of him and his wife going to a Chicago gay dance club.
Yes.
And they were dancing to Miley Cyrus, and there was a bunch of steam, and you couldn't see anybody around you, and they were just laughing. And then when the steam cleared, there was a guy right next to him and his wife dancing who was giving another guy a blowjob.
It was Kelly Clarkson, not Miley Cyrus.
Kelly Clarkson. But, you know, just kind of the surprise blowjob that was happening next to him and his wife, and how that's, whenever they think of Chicago, that's the first thing they think of is the Kelly Clarkson dance steam blowjob thing.
And right next to me is Erin Jane Sherlock, 10 years old, probably wondering to herself, what's a blowjob? Or at least we're hoping that's what she was wondering to herself. So, yeah, he just kind of told a succession of stories kind of in a stand-up comedy type of style. And that was awesome. And I believe after, like, another film break or something, then it was time for the Paul and Storm set, right?
Yep.
And then they did a couple of songs.
They did Nun Fight, they did Liv. Liv was when I took my bathroom break.
Yeah, it was after Liv and before Frogger the Musical that Josh and I got our soggy umbrellas and my soggy purses, and we got up and we left. So Luke will tell the rest of the story here while we drive back over to my work.
Well, as you've probably heard and read online tweets and stuff this morning, their version, their lead-in to... Actually, you kind of want to blow against the mic.
Oh, sorry, Mike. Especially if you're a guy named Mike.
Yes. the lead-in to the actual song part of the captain's wife's... What?
Well, there's another way you could go. That would be a little, in some ways, better. So as you were saying...
Like the part of the song where it's, you know, there, semen on the... Blah, 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 like that part of the song?
Yes. Yes.
The lead into that was 30 minutes.
Yes.
It was Paul and Storm and Will and Adam and Jason Finn from the President of the United States of America on drums. Like... you know, all out there, and they, like, it just took them a good, you know, 12 minutes just to get to the part where they actually started the, you know, the beginning of the song in any respect, like, you know,
Ken timed it, and he said it was 36 minutes from the beginning of the intro to the end of the song.
Yeah, so, like, about 12 or 13 minutes into it, some guy in the audience shouts, like, perfect time, he shouts out, you know, in 15 minutes it'll be my birthday!
Oh, God.
So they continue to shtick, and they continue to shtick, and then, like, they keep checking their watches to see, it's like, 4 minutes till his birthday, and then, like, when it got to...
Midnight.
When it got to, like, about, you know, like, 45 seconds left, it's like, you know... It's like Paul and Storm turn to Adam, really? And it's like, yep, 35 seconds. And they're like, oh, God. Now we just have to wait now. And, and then the audience on its own, I'm sure it wasn't perfectly timed, but the audience on its own just started counting down, 10, 9, 8. And then it got to the end, and they sang happy birthday to you to them. And then they, you know, kept going and continued shticking. And then a little later, some other guy yelled, my birthday's on Wednesday.
Oh my God!
So yeah, so it was really epic.
Yeah, I heard that was filmed, and hopefully I'll be able to watch that tonight or tomorrow.
And then afterwards they did do they had like a huge long line for a meet and greet.
I saw some of the nifty photos you took.
Yes, and I got a photo of Paul and Storm with the Paul and Storm puppets from the Bad Rapport.
Yep, I saw that.
I got to say hi to Will Wheaton and give him copies of my whole discography. And also the same to Adam Savage, and I also gave him a copy of the Circus So What album so he could hear Mythbusters, The Cat Came Back.
Oh.
And I also gave a copy of the Circus So What to album to Paul and Storm so that they could know what the tile bit is.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So yeah, and you know, it was a really cool experience, and we got cool pictures, and it was super fun, and I'm looking forward to the next Woodstock, and I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that perhaps I could get on the bill and actually perform at it next time.
So yes,
we will hope for that. So thus ends our Woodstock report.
Woot!
You will hear us shortly in another time.
Woot.
So, woot.
Here comes the time jump back to the back to the future. The future, future, future.
Zoinks.
Hey Will, what's happening? Do you remember MC Frontalot from PAX?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
You sang Read Your Brains, right?
I am so totally happy that I ran into you because I want to start one of these web blogs that people have. And I was wondering if you would have, for me, any advice.
Yeah. You read about it in Parade magazine or something?
Circus.
Well, that's a fascinating coincidence. I wanted to talk to you about my desire to get involved with rapping.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hate to impose on you, but do you think maybe I could, like, drop some rhymes on you?
That would be awesome.
They're fat rhymes.
I would expect.
I am Will Wheaton and my crabs are fresh. Yo, I peel up a jumbo shrimp, bite the flesh. If I can't have an oyster, then I get depressed. And I'll finish up the lobster if you don't want the rest. Crawfish is the best. Get a net and a vest.
You know, I'm going to stop you there. Are all of your rhymes about seafood?
Yes. Yes, they are. Shellfish, specifically. I'm calling it Shellfish Core Hip Hop.
That's... That seems like a weird and potentially self-limiting designation.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, does it?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Let's talk about you. What is your blog going to be about?
Well, you know, just really the usual things, like conventions that I go to, mm-hmm. my writing career, my relationship with my teenage stepson, mm-hmm. My recollections of having starred in a seminal Stephen King blockbuster at one point in my late post-adolescence.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. No one is going to want to read about that.
Hi, this is Carrie Dalby.
And this is the great Luke Ski.
And we have a podcast called Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
And our show gets 1.3 million downloads per episode.
No, we don't.
We get all the special sneak preview advanced tips on new Apple hardware.
We totally don't have any of that.
Fabulous celebrity guests.
Nope, none at all.
And in every episode, we give away a new car.
No.
Well, then what do we have?
Well, we play 4 comedy songs, we report on news of the stupid, but mostly it's just you talking for 90 minutes about stupid 80s crap, and occasionally I get to talk.
Yeah, what she said. Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
To listen or subscribe, visit badrapport.com. BadRapport.com.
We grant wishes.
Shut the f*** up.
Okay.
You know, I was at a bookstore not too long ago, and I saw a book... and I'm not making this one up, called What Would Jesus Eat?
It's Whoa. True.
It is true. It's a true thing. It says right on the cover, for people who want to safely lose weight.
Nuts and berries, what?
And for those seeking a healthier Bible-based eating program.
Because you've seen the What Would Jesus Do bracelets.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I've seen the book.
Well, the book is real. The author says he's examined Scripture, and he can tell us what... We know Jesus ate, and what we can confidently infer that Jesus ate. And, well, we know bread and fish and wine, and there's a rumor that he opened up that Chuck E. Jesus, which would be, you could add pizza to that.
Chuck E. Jesus?
Chuck E. Jesus.
No, not Chuck E. Jesus.
That's not necessarily true, but it's a rumor. Anything, I think the question, what would Jesus eat,
uh-huh.
is fascinating.
It is. Yeah, it is. Actually.
And I put some of my answers into a song, and with the help of the Cavanettes, here we go.
If Jesus walked the earth today and wanted to lose weight,
like Jared,
to look good for that special lady on a special date,
it's hypothetical,
to lose a tunic size would be quite a feat,
even for Jesus.
So here's the question, what would Jesus eat? Swiss cheese.
Cause it's holy.
Miracle Whip.
He'd have no other.
Thomas's English muffins.
Doubt it.
Virgin Bloody Mary.
To honor his mother.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
You guys are supposed to sing, because he cured the leprechauns. Because he cured the
leprechauns. No, Tim, he didn't actually cure leprechauns.
What he did was he cured lepers, not leper
colonies. Leper colonies.
Oh, I must misread that. I don't think there's any different.
Right.
Leper food. Okay, here.
Angel food cake.
That's better.
Deviled ham.
No way.
Hearts of palm.
Tell us more.
On ice cream.
To make a palm sundae?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Palm sundae. That's
all right.
That's what Jesus would eat.
I keep moving, buddy.
Hi-oh.
Oh, man.
And I'm guessing when he went to buy his groceries, he'd redeem coupons and all the store's employees. And he would cross-train to get all trim and fit. And one thing that he would not eat, he would not eat shit.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about what Jesus wouldn't eat. Uncle Ben's converted rice.
Used to be a heathen.
Cheeseburger.
In paradise.
Chicken a la king.
Hold the Allah.
Pope, yes, chicken.
What?
What?
Pope, yes, chicken.
What do you mean?
I think he means Popeye's chicken.
Pope, yes. Oh, Popeye's, yeah.
Oh, did I do that again? I misread that. He was a carpenter, but their diet would not do. Karen Carpenter's dieting proved it isn't good for you.
Aww.
He wouldn't eat quiche just to prove he was a real man. And since he was raised Jewish, he'd have to pass on the heavenly ham. That's what Jesus would eat.
Yum.
Oh, my. Okay.
And now it's time for...
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so damn easy to incriminate.
In England, a driver was forced to pay £150 to get his car back after police confiscated it. Why did the police confiscate it? To keep it from being stolen, of course. Marcus Morris accidentally left a window open on his VW Polo when he went for a job interview in Leeds with a case of CDs in the back seat. When police discovered the vehicle, they came to the conclusion that it would be for the best to prevent thieves from taking his CDs or his car for them to steal it first. Marcus returned a half hour later to discover his car was missing. He contacted police, who told them they took his car, and when he went to pick it up, they gave him a bill for £150. Marcus is currently taking legal advice in an attempt to recover the cost. It may take him a while since the Leeds Fire Department is going around town setting houses on fire to make sure that arsonists don't get the chance to first.
In Newport Richie, a man was arrested after deputies said he called 911 multiple times to complain that his mother took away his beer. Charles Dennison, 32, who was very intoxicated, told a deputy who went to their home that he wanted his mother arrested for taking his beer, according to a Pasco County Sheriff's Office arrest report. If she wasn't charged, he said, he would continue to call 911. A deputy charged him with making false 911 calls and took him to the jail in Land O'Lakes, where I'm sure he'll learn that he butter knock it off. Get it? Land O'Lakes? Butter? Hello?
You really need to work on better food puns. Well, at least that Charles guy had a mother who cares about his welfare, unlike some other unfortunate kids. Like the son of a 32-year-old woman from Clackamas, Oregon, who felt it was perfectly okay to leave her son locked in a car for 8 hours while she went into a casino to gamble. While being arrested by police, she said, quote, "Why is this such a big deal?" unquote. A casino security officer on patrol found the boy sitting in his car in the SUV, which was locked with no window open. He didn't appear harmed, but he had soiled his clothing and his cup of milk had soured. A deputy changed him and got him into fresh undergarments. Casino employees brought the boy a peanut butter sandwich and some watermelon. It was a cloudy afternoon and police measured the outside temperature at about 63 degrees. Employees of the Chips Palace Casino used overhead speakers to ask the person who had the Lincoln to come forward. After being paged twice, the intoxicated woman cashed in her chips, went outside, and found officers waiting for her. She said she'd left the boy in the car and that she, quote, checked on the kid every couple of hours and he was sleeping, unquote. Security videos indicated she'd arrived in the parking space about 4 a.m. Although police hadn't seen the woman driving the Lincoln, they measured her alcohol level at 0.14, considerably more than the state's DUI threshold of 0.08. Police called for officials with Child Protective Services, who took custody of the toddler. It's too bad this didn't happen in Leeds, England, because within a half hour, police would have discovered the toddler and kidnapped him in order to prevent him from being kidnapped by kidnappers. But in this case, real kidnappers probably would have been an improvement.
And finally, in Boise, Idaho, police think they might have solved a year-long crime spree after arresting a 74-year-old woman for pouring mayonnaise in the Ada County Library's book drop box. The woman is a person of interest in at least 10 other condiment-related crimes. Joy L. Cassidy was picked up Sunday at the library, moments after police say she pulled through the outside drive-thru and dunked a jar of mayo in the box designated for reading materials. Cassidy was released from jail and faces a misdemeanor charge of malicious injury to property. Boise police say Cassidy is under investigation for other cases of vandalism that started in May 2009. Library employees have reported finding books in the Dropbox covered in corn syrup and other similar substances. Joy thought she would always be able to stay one step ahead of the police, but it was inevitable that they would... catch up! Her alibis didn't cut the mustard! And since she didn't cheese it, she's really in a pickle now! It sounds like a story from The Onion. I'm sure they'd relish that. Hey, maybe they'll let us throw this A1 criminal in the hot SUV with that kid, and then she'll be bacon! Get it? Bacon! I am so hilarious!
People are and once again, we have proven it.
Horseradish!
This has been News of the Stupid. Is that like the Zen morning laugh or something?
Yes.
You just make yourself laugh?
That's my tribute to T.D. Mischke.
You know that little, like, psycho part of yourself that, like, you're on a roller coaster or Ferris wheel and you're like, what if I jumped off? Well, that little psycho part of myself also has said to myself, like, numerous times in the past, what if I just emptied a bottle of maple syrup into that mailbox? What if? Who would know? What would they do? And then their mail would be sticky.
It's like George Carlin once said, like, what about a guy who hears a voice in his head that tells him to go kill 12 people and then he doesn't? Is that the only thing a voice in your head ever says? How come a voice in your head never says, go take a shit on the salad bar at Wendy's?
Luckily, I was eventually informed that would be a felony, so I never actually did.
That's a federal offense.
Yes.
And now it's time for Carrie to say a thing that she told me to write down on the outline. Carrie, take it.
What did I tell you to write down?
This thing here.
Oh, so I thought you might be able to relate with this feeling, but there's times when I go to grocery stores and, you know, when I'm writing out bills, you know, filling out my taxes, or doing any other number of very grown-up adult things to do, and I just feel like a total and complete imposter.
Oh, yes. That's my entire existence.
I thought you'd be able to relate with that.
Yeah.
So I don't have, like, a lot of interesting things to say on that topic, but I just thought I'd throw that out there and see if any listeners wanted to comment who might also feel that way. Does this ever stop for those of you that are older than us? I'm 32 and you're 39 or something.
And today Rob Balder is 41.
Oh, really?
Yep. And my kitty cat Joss turned 9.
I didn't know it was Rob's birthday.
Yeah, today's Rob's birthday.
Happy birthday, Rob, even though this will, you know, you'll never hear this.
No, Rob's way too busy to listen to this crap.
I'm 32, Luke's 36. For those of you who are older than us, does it ever get any better where you, like, actually feel like a grown-up? Or do you just always feel like an imposter?
It's like, you know, sometimes I just kind of think to myself, like, you know, I'm still getting away with this. I'm 36. When are they going to catch up with me? And then conversely, it's like graduating college, like the act of graduating is like neat and my parents are proud of me. And to a degree, I'm proud of myself for having gotten through college. Not so much because like, oh, I'm an educated person, but more like it was a thing that I had to get through and I got through it. And I'm proud of myself for having done that.
Yeah.
But it kind of happens less frequently as I get older. But every so often I'll stop and I'll just say to myself in my own head, you do realize, of course, you never have to go to class ever again. And I go in my brain, I go like, yes, yes, I never have to go to class again.
Well, I actually like school, but I've kind of always liked school.
Overall, it was not a positive experience most of the time.
I'm the one who never wants to go to work again. It's school that I'd like to go to forever.
If I could get into a course that was teaching me how to do traditional hand-drawn animation using modern hardware and software, that's a class I would go to happily.
I'm sure you could get into a course like that.
I don't know.
Why couldn't you?
Well, I'd have to, like, check out the Art Institutes of Chicago to find out if they're even teaching that anymore or if they've all just switched over to CG because nobody gives a crap about hand-drawn anymore.
I'm pretty sure they do animation at Columbia. Anyways, moving on. Would you like to bring up this topic?
Yeah, it's basically, I was listening to the most recent episode of Blasted Bill and Moonbeam's
Pod of Destiny.
And on Blasted Bill and Moonbeam's
Pod of Destiny,
they were talking at a bonfire because it was the first episode they recorded after PenguinCon, where they had seen the video episode of Bad Rapport, and they kind of kept saying they had us at the end, but it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, so all I really want to say on that topic is every time me and Josh watch it, keeping in mind Josh had nothing to do with the creation of the video. He was not there. All he does is watch the video. Every time we watch that part specifically, particularly the part where bag puppet Bill vomits, we always laugh our asses off. It's one of the few things that I can watch over and over again, and it's basically, it's comedy.
Well, just to break it down, because maybe they didn't fully get it, because I asked Sarah, I'm like, you understood what that, right? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. So here it is. It's like, you know when you're watching a show that's science fiction-y, where people are communicating with each other over, like, view screens, like Star Trek or Mystery Science Theater 3000, where it's like, you know, they're looking into the camera because they're viewing something and talking to another person, and then they cut to the other view of, like, hey, what do you think, sirs? And then cut to Dr. Forrester, and Dr. Forrester's looking at the camera, well, Joel, blah, blah, blah. You know, so the situation is, the credits end, we cut to Blasted Bill and Moonbeam, who are at their computer screen, watching the Bad Rapport podcast.
Yes. Yeah, I pretty much got that.
Yeah, in their area with their green screen behind them, the two puppets are watching it. And the it was basically just a gag to have all these, you know, ornately made puppets of everybody else and then make Blasted Bill and Moonbeam a sock puppet and bag puppet, respectively.
Because we don't actually love them.
Yes, we
but
do.
But because, you know, they threw down the gauntlet and, yes, like, you know, we're, like, play competitive.
Yes.
You know, so...
So, and of course, because Moonbeam is such a huge fan of Liam Lynch and the Syphil and Ollie show, we had to make her the sock puppet.
Right.
And because they've done sock puppet room parties at cons, and they were awesome.
Yes.
And Bill, I just wanted to make a bag puppet. In fact, the bag puppet I made for Bill probably came out better than the way I had envisioned it in my mind originally.
And you said it took you 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, I just kind of, it was like the last prop I made. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to make the Bill puppet. And I just kind of quickly grabbed pieces of foam and stuff that were laying around and just like, you know, hot, you know, scissors, hot glue, marker, you know, boom. Okay, I'm done, you know.
Yeah.
And I did make him wearing his vest that had the many different badges on it, though.
Yes,
so.
And a shirt that says boom.
So anyway, we cut to them. They are watching the Bad Rapport podcast, which has just ended, and they are standing there with their mouths just jaw-dropping agape because they can't believe the awesome thing that they just saw. They're just stupefied by the overall brilliance and excellence of the Bad Rapport podcast. And after a few seconds, the human hand of the of the Moonbeam sock puppet reaches up, takes off the star glasses, turns to Blasted Bill and says, oh, snap, we just got served, Blasted Bill. And Blasted Bill, who has said nothing yet, who is wide-eyed and just so stupefied by the awesomeness of what he saw, he can't even speak. It just has overwhelmed him so much that all he can do is vomit profusely.
Yes.
Because he can't believe that he was pwned in such an,
I gotta
an
watch
excellent
that
way.
Again.
That he's just, you know, and then it fades out in the end. That's what happens in the scene, and it makes complete fucking sense!
There's very few things that crack me up repeatedly the way that the Bill Bag Puppet vomiting does. But just in case it didn't work, since we had to do multiple... rewind. Just in case it didn't work, we did other versions of the ending because we were only going to have one chance to do that vomit. Because
yeah,
after that, the puppet is ruined.
Yeah, well, we assumed the puppet was going to be ruined and soiled with, like, vomit and stuff. But weirdly, the vomit really didn't get on the puppet at all. Like,
but
like,
it got all over Sarah and Kiki.
Well,
and the floor.
And since it was made out of apple cinnamon oatmeal mostly, it smelled very apple cinnamony, and it was very nice. But anyway, we filmed a bunch of takes before that one with me saying things as Bill, like, toil and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just so that we had an alternate take in case it didn't work. Anyway,
yep.
So I can't remember if we mentioned this in the Woodstock Chicago report, but Bill and Moonbeam asked us if they could take some photographs of us in various positions.
Oh, I don't think we did mention that.
Yeah, so as they called it, for their not-so-secret project. So apparently they're working on, you know, their next video thing, and it will incorporate me and Carrie, and no doubt they will find ways to humiliate and pwn us in their video as well. And we say, bring it, motherfuckers.
Yes, bring it on. We can take it.
All right. Next thing. I'm going to post show Probably edit in some sound clips to help illustrate this, so it'll make more sense. But I didn't do that beforehand because it would have been too involved, and fuck it.
Okie dokie. That way I won't be here as long.
Yes, exactly. Some of you may remember from a few episodes back, I talked about this big project I did where I went through all my old notebooks and made a list of songs that... So all these song ideas I ever came up with that I never actually did, and I had like a list of like 90 different songs. So I went through that list and I tried to find song ideas that like I still feel might be worth the effort to do if I felt the fans wanted me to do them once they heard what this idea was. Normally, you know, of course, in comedy music, you want to keep all your ideas a secret so that the surprise of them hearing it for the first time will be like, aha, that's very funny.
Yes.
Well, in this case, we're kind of throwing the most of that out of the window for the purpose of me doing this thing, and I'm calling it You Pick Luke's Thumb.
But which, you is spelled with just the letter U only. For
It could be. And my original concept of this, I was going to make a much bigger deal out of it, and I have decided now not to make as much of a big deal out of it. It's basically, I'm kind of viewing it like all of my super hardcorest of fans listens to this show. So if they don't listen to this show, you know...
Do I get to vote too?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, your reactions to these is probably going to be part of the figuring out which ones are good and which ones are crap.
So I have a weighted vote.
Yes.
Good.
But the main... It's not going to be a voting like a poll or this or that. It's basically going to be your comments. So for this episode, you have to go to badreport.com and leave a comment letting me know which ideas you support, which ideas you can get behind and think, oh, yes, absolutely, you must do this one or you must do these two. Or if you hear all these ideas and you're all like, they're not that great, I want to know that as well. It's like if you genuinely think these are meh, you know, then, you know, go to the thing and leave a comment, you know, it says, meh, and I'll be like, oh, look, Jared Ringgold said meh, just like I expected.
So they have till episode 18 goes,
yes,
up
because,
to comment.
Because if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to do one of these songs, I may do more than one, but if I'm going to do one of these songs, I kind of want to know that it's going to happen quickly because I would like to have it done before Gen Con.
Okay.
For multiple reasons.
All right, what's on the list?
Anyway, so, and this is generally chronologically, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the idea for the song, what it's a parody of, what it's about, any lyrics that I can remember off the top of my head that I came up with, I'll sing to you, and I'll like I said, post you, I'll edit in a clip of the song.
You mean the original?
The original, for, you know, just in case there's any chance people out there haven't heard it or you haven't heard it. And, you know, a quick few pros and cons as to why I should or why I shouldn't do the song. So.
Okay.
Here we go. How many do you have here? 1,
here
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, I have 11 songs here. First one.
I started singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing this.
The day Saturday night died.
Oh, yeah.
It is a parody of American Pie about Saturday Night Live.
Oh, God.
Now, keeping in mind that I came with this idea back in 95 or 96.
Yeah.
So but back then, I kind of felt like the show turned to shit. Period of time I like to refer to as the Sherry O'Terry years. There was just a few years I just stopped watching the show because I didn't think it was
funny
anymore.
So do you want me to make actual comments or just, you know, oh yeah.
Well, let me get through it a little bit more and then I'll be like, Carrie, what
okay.
do you think? So basically it was, bye bye to that church lady guy. They drove Chevy to the levee, but now Chevy is dry. You know, and then basically the song would be me talking about the history of SNL, you know, back then up until that point where I felt like the show turned to shit. But now that it's, you know, 2010, you know, another, I can't do math, 15 years has gone by, and the show has, in my opinion, gotten better. So I'm not quite sure what I could do with that. So there's kind of a pro and, you know, kind of a con to it. Another big con to not do this song is, of course, the fact that, you know, Weird Al did The Saga Begins, And
that's basically what I was going to say. Yeah. Not just that, but other parodies and, of the
and,
song.
Yeah, and of course Robert Lund's Shakespearean Pie, which is also epic. So is that your comment primarily?
Yes.
Okay. Next one.
Cut it.
Hoser, a parody of the song Loser by Beck about SCTV.
I'm a loser, baby.
Exactly.
Why don't you kill me?
So the
I love that song.
I would sing the song as Bob and or Doug McKenzie primarily, and the song would just be all about the characters and stuff that happened on SCTV. So, I'm a hoser, baby, so why don't you go and eat a pound of back bacon, you know, and stuff like that. And I would, of course, mention and impersonate people like Ed Grimley, Guy Caballero, Edith Prickly, you know, stuff that hardcore SCTV fans would remember. And, of course, the con to doing this song is, who the fuck would care besides me?
Well... is this the part where I comment?
Yes.
Okay, overall, I mean, I'd love the idea of there being a parody of that song, but I never watch SCTV, so it would be one of those, like, meaningless songs to me. Plus, you know, it's got a really cool melody that you wouldn't be singing because you'd be too busy being a character. So, what's the next one?
Nope, shut them down, the king with the town, cause all you wanna be is Dickie Down.
This next one I'm pretty psyched about. I think this one has a good chance of people getting behind it. I'd certainly be all for doing it. It is called It's Good to Be the King. It would be a parody of the song Down with the King by Run DMC about Mel Brooks movies. So it'd be, it's good to be the king! It's good to be the king! You know, and I try to get some really cool scratches on there with Mel Brooks saying, it's good to be the king, the king, the king, the king, you know, and stuff like that. So basically it would
You'd
be about...
You have to get your brother involved.
Hopefully, yeah. And, you know, it would, of course, reference, you know, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, History of the World, The Producers, you know, all the great, awesome Mel Brooks stuff over the years. And I didn't really have any, like, super lyrics worked out for it yet, other than making sure I, you know, say it's like, go get yourself a black sheriff, and then you'll good to be the king, or something like that. I'm sure, you know, if I had done more research on this, I could have looked up if I actually wrote any lyrics for it, but it's one of those things where it's like, just the idea seems like, oh, I want to do that, because it's like you know, MC Freeburg or Jello Shots. It's like, I'm doing another tribute to a classic comedy thing.
That has potential.
Okay. And that's your comment?
Yes.
Okay.
So I got up and strolled over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy why he's so fly. He said, Funky Comadina.
Hercules and Xena. A parody of Funky Comadina. By Tone Loc.
Oh, 20 years too late.
You know, Hercules and... You know, so... And basically, the con is, yeah, 10, 15, 20 years too late. If
and
I had done that...
it's not like Babylon 5 where, like, people still give a fuck. Like, who the hell still gives a fuck about Hercules and Xena?
I think people might still slightly give a fuck about Xena, but Hercules, I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like... I don't know. Yeah. This one you, Carrie, might get behind.
You'll find happy hearts and smiling faces and tolerance for the ethnic races in Denton.
You'll find a rambling rose and a picket fence.
Tenderness and innocence. In Denton.
You'll find conference rooms and a children's playground. Denton is a real okay town. civic pride and civic duty, and Denton girls are full of beauty.
You may call us the goody goody two-shoes. We're here to cheer you with the good news. That D-E-N-T-O-N gets T-E-M. That's
perfect. If you're looking for a life of leisure,
you're gonna get a whole lot to please ya.
Again and again.
And again and again.
And again.
The song is called Red Bank. It is a parody of the song Denton from the movie Shock Treatment about the movies of Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah. You always talked about doing that.
Yeah. So, and I actually tried to get Daniel Robinson to do it, and he basically refused to make an attempt at making the background music because there was too many instruments and he didn't have the technology at the time.
Well, I know which one Pooh Bear is voting for.
So,
I'd vote for that because then I'd get to do a bunch of vocals on it.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of some of the lyrics here because I had some of them worked out and I'm only remembering like half of them. So there's no rhymes here for the most part, but it's like, you know, they're sweet baby-voiced lesbians in Red Bank. You know, Red Bank is a real effed up town.
You know, it'd be cool if you had a bunch of different artists since there's a bunch of different people on the original.
So I'm trying to remember more lyrics that I thought up, you know. Let's see. And two guys smoking snoochy poochies. We ain't exactly goody goody two shoes. Something, something, something good news.
Yeah, okay.
That REDBANK is a great place to stay if you're straight, if you're gay, or if you're looking for a place to get high and your girlfriend did it with a dead guy. So, you know, and Red Bank, we have Kevin to thank for. So, you know.
Then you can work in a line about Southwest Airlines. And
that would be good.
I think.
And then end with Red Bank, USA. Naganooch!
I've prematurely declared the winner.
So that's the one you care for the most. This one I think is a pretty strong idea. So the song would be called Chicken Nuggets, and it would be a parody of Chicken Huntin' by Insane Clown Posse, and the premise is basically Ronald McDonald joins the Insane Clown Posse. So,
okay.
So like, Cokes, Shakes, Burgers and Fries, Cokes, Shakes, Burgers and Fries, Cokes, Shakes, Burgers and Fries, gonna use a spork to cut out Grimace's eyes, so who ordered chicken nuggets? We ordered chicken nuggets. Who ordered chicken nuggets? We ordered chicken nuggets. Who ordered chicken nuggets? We ordered chicken nuggets. Tell the colonel we do chicken rye, right? And etc. So basically, Wicked Clowns beat Ronald McDonald, etc.
Alrighty.
So,
now you're making me hungry.
If you ever riff with people want a bus, break out before you get bum rushed at the Wild Wild West. When I roll into the Wild Wild West, when I stroll into the Wild Wild West, when I bounce into the Wild Wild West, this goes.
Well, this song is called World Wide Web. It is a parody of Wild Wild West by Will Smith, you know, from the movie, of course. Basically, another internet/computer song. And the original concept behind this was I wanted, because in the worldwide, or the Wild Wild West version had like Kool Moe Dee and like that other vocal group doing like background vocals on the chorus.
Yeah.
I wanted to get Tom Smith and Ukul the Mach to appear on the song. So that Tom Smith could be the Kool Moe Dee part and Adam and Rand could be the vocally part. So, you know, I'd be like, you know, in the north, south, east, and the west, gonna wicked, wicked, wild break out before he get kill filed on the World Wide Web. We go surfing on the World Wide Web, you know,
well,
something on the World Wide Web, and then,
yeah.
And then the chorus be like, do-do-do-do, and then they all singing high and stuff. You got mail! You got mail! And,
oh, God.
You know, at the end, the last line would be, I was gonna mention something about, you know, fighting trolls or something, and then it would end with, you know, so beware of being the troller when there's nothing left to troll on the World Wide Web. So the downside of this is the literally dozens of songs about computers and the internet that have already been made.
And B, you know, the fact that the internet exists isn't that exciting anymore that you'd want a whole entire song about just that.
The niftiest thing about the song would be having a song with me and Tom Smith and Ukul the Mach on the same song, which we could do with something else if we really put our minds to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm a little bit of everything, all rolled into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your help.
Next one is called Stitch. It's a parody of that song Bitch by that lady whose name I forget. I'm a bitch. I'm a something. I'm a bitch. I don't think so.
Sheryl Crow? It's one of those two.
Well, let's ask the computer.
We're going to ask the World Wide Web. What do you know about the song called Bitch? Is it by Alanis Morissette? Or is it by somebody else? You spell bitch with a G. That's not how you spell bitch. Told you, Alanis Morissette.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. I fail.
Yes.
I failed.
Didn't you hear them talking about that song on the Nerdist podcast? One of the lines is about Dave Coulier.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Anyways, so what about it? Stitch, as in Lilo and Stitch?
Yes, Lilo and Stitch, you know. You know. I am Stitch. Hey there, mister. Something, something. Naga Quista. You know, just, yeah. Okay.
Sounds like a decent B-side.
Yeah. You know, once again, a song I'd purely be doing pretty much for my own personal amusement because I like Lilo and Stitch, and yeah.
Surface, it stinks. I see something on the surface, well, it kind of makes me nervous. So say that you deserve the sound. What kind of God would service? We will cure this dirty old disease. Well, if you got the poison, I've got the remedy. The remedy is the experience. This is a dangerous liaison. I says the comedy. Is that a serious? This is a strange enough new play on words. I say the tragedy is how you're gonna spend the rest of your nights with the light on. So shine the light on all of your friends. Well, it all amounts to nothing in the end.
Okay, next song, Serenity, a parody of The Remedy by Jason Mraz.
I don't know that song.
So,
but I will when I listen to the podcast.
Yes. So I'm trying to remember what some of the lyrics were. It's like, you know, I'm the girls and the boys in the ship called Serenity, Serenity. It's a firefly. It's a banana. The firefly. Ah, shit, I can't remember anything else that I thought about that song.
That's strong because, you know, the nerds and geeks at conventions still give a crap about Firefly and Serenity, unlike, you know, Xena and Hercules.
Yes, but a major con, sometimes people make songs and it makes me think to myself, well, I no longer need to worry about that topic because somebody has already made a super epic song, you know, so my song has no purpose because this other epic song exists. So, possible Oscar has the song Aim to Misbehave.
Right.
You know, so it's like
that. It's epic, but it's not really comedic. So, I mean, you can still make a song. And I know you have a man named Jane, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah. A Man Named Jane is about the TV series, right. And Serenity would be about the movie.
Yeah, I like the movie better.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why. I mean, there's like 5,000 Star Wars songs. There doesn't need to only be two, you know. Not that there's only two, but you know what I'm saying. What's next?
Doom Shaker. This is a parody of the song Rump Shaker by Rex and Effect about the TV show Invader Zim.
Oh, yeah, I've barely seen that show.
So it'd be like, all I want to do is Zim, a Zim, a Zim, Zim, and a Doom Doom. Dib, baby, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I have a feeling this is going to be Bill's vote.
Yeah. And then, this is the last one, and, I've been telling these all kind of chronologically from 95 to 2006. This one, I'm not sure when I came up with the idea, but, probably somewhere more in the earlier years, but...
One day back in Philly, four guys wanted to sing. They came up to me, I said, but what's your name?
What's the name?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Then I said, all right, fellas, well, let me see what you can do. And then a smile when they won and said, yo, Mike, check this out. See if this one moves.
It's called Walking Silly, and it'd be a parody of Motown Philly by Boyz II Men about Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Okay.
So like, walking silly once again, doing that Monty Python thing. And the main thing that hooks me is the idea for the bridge and the bridge part, you know. So be like some guy, you know, years ago, you know, way back in England. Six guys wanted to show. They come up to me and said, what's your name? And then a soundbite, Monty Python. You know what I'm saying? All right, boys, let me show you what you can do. And then they all put on all these Viking hats and they check this one out. Spam, 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 spam.
Is this one going to require some vocal acrobats?
Well, yeah, well, that's the major con.
Acrobatics.
You remember the last time I attempted a Boyz II Men parody? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the major,
that's the major
downside of doing that song is it would be so, you know, it would take, yeah. It's not impossible. I don't like to think of anything as impossible, but it would be incredibly difficult to do it. I would probably have to...
You don't have to spend the kind of money to pay me to coach you on that.
Yeah. And also, auto-tune would most likely have to be involved. Here's a song that is not on the list... But I wrote it down, I don't know, and because somebody else, every so often somebody else gives me an idea, and I don't like to take other people's ideas, but every so often one kind of sticks like, oh, that would have been cool. Somebody suggested to me I should do a parody of Holla Back Girl by, it was like Gwen Stefani. Ain't no Holla Back Girl. I think that's Gwen Stefani. Someone suggested I do it as a Star Trek song and call it Holodeck Girl.
Oh.
Ain't no Holodeck Girl. And... You know, it's like, it's a decent idea, but I don't know. It still seems like, you know, I've already done a billion songs about Star Trek. There probably wouldn't be too much.
You don't have anywhere there's a female lead vocalist.
What?
I said, you don't have any Star Trek songs where there's a female lead vocalist.
I suppose that's true.
Just saying.
Well, if you want to take the idea and make it a Carrie Dalby song, if you want to write it.
I can't write a Star Trek song.
Why not?
I don't watch Star Trek.
Why not? Watch shows! All right, so we got to get... Crap, it's about time when I wanted to end the show. But we're going to play another song here by the awesome Molly Lewis. Hey, it's a girl.
Yay.
Girls can do songs. Did you know that, Carrie?
They can play instruments, too.
Wow. So here's a song by Molly Lewis.
Fights and shopping malls and tax evasion and sexist tabloid culture and Brangelina and paparazzi and Proposition 8 and discrimination and neo-Nazis. But anymore these things don't seem to bother me. Ever since I started hanging out with Mr. T, he told me to stay out of drugs and drink my milk and treat my mother right. My favorite characters. I disliked all the people I had to ride with on the commuter bus. If Nancy Grace and I were to meet, I would have kicked her in the uterus. But my attitude has had a total overhaul since Mr. T told me how to forgive them all. He said, let the naysayers nay, I don't care what they say, it's all jibber jabber anyway. And I in his spurs and rode into the sky on that thing from the never-ending story. And I pity the fool who messed with tea.
What you talking about, fool? I don't remember none of that.
Oh, hi.
Hi, and we're back. So now it's time for What's Luke Plugging Now? What's Luke plugging now?
I thought we were going to do that other segment first.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not doing that segment. We're going to do the Luke needs to go over here and grab his phone.
Luke needs to go grab his phone. Yeah.
All right. So I forgot which number it is.
63. Wait, I can't say it.
There it is. Every once in a while, every now and again,
ring. Hello. Let's call Ken.
Ding. The tension. It's building.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Ken. You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Congratulations.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. We didn't really have anything specific to talk to you about. We just wanted to call you because we usually do.
Okay. Well, I'm in the middle. Okay. That's no problem. It's okay. Thanks for calling.
You're in the middle of what?
No, actually, I was actually in the middle of a game, but it's okay. I was actually in the middle of a game at Matt's house.
Oh, okay. Say hi to everybody there.
I'll do that. No problem.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later then.
Okay, no problem, Luke. Take care.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was That's a Goal Ken. Here on Luke Carey's Bad for all kinds of creative things. Hey, it's time for What's Luke Plugging Now? What's Luke Plugging Now?
Yeah. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Insert thing here. What's that bump?
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to do something different.
I was intentionally not doing something so you could do something.
Nuclear Bubble Wrap featuring Joanna Day, and they have a song called Food Belongs in Me.
It's a Taylor Swift parody.
Why have I not heard that?
It just went up today. That's why. And you've been at work.
Yeah.
Silly goose.
That happens. TV's Kyle Turtle Riding a Dog, which I enjoyed. Steve Goody Blackwater BP version, which I particularly enjoyed. Morning Sidekick Go Commando. Robert London Spaff.com Eat You Now. Tom Smith 307 Ale. Power Salad Lost Without My Loss. The Great Luke Ski, technically featuring Carrie Dalby, Fanboy 2010 edition. And you're going to say something about some goofy-ass podcast?
Yes. Devo Spice said, hey, Luke, let's do a thing. And I said, okay. So we have started a podcast for the Fump beyond just the regular podcast feed where you get the songs, in which once a week, Devo and I will hop on the Skypes and play the songs that were posted at the Fump the past week, and whenever possible, have one of the other artists that was in the, or one of the other artists featured that week on the Skype as well, so that we can talk to them about the song that they've made. And generally, the whole point of it is to let the people out there get to know the members of the Fump better, so that there's more of a personable face to the Fump instead of just like, oh, here's a bunch of songs. So we recorded a test episode zero on Dementia Radio the other night during my show Dementia Revolution, and that's another nifty aspect to this podcast, is we will be recording it, for the most part, live on Dementia Radio during my show Dementia Revolution on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Most of the time is when it'll be happening. So go to DementiaRadio.org and you can tune in, hear us record it live, or you can sign up for the podcast feed and hear it, you know, in your podcaster whenever you like.
And yes, I did listen to it. So you guys should go check out the Funny Music Podcast. And
yes.
Pretty soon you can probably subscribe directly in iTunes and everything.
Yeah, because Devo has submitted it to iTunes and we're waiting for them to
It's funny how easy that is, but certain, large, well-known television/radio networks can't seem to handle that.
Like broadcasting, you know, companies from Colombia who have systems and go by the initial CBS can't get their shit together. Anyway, so we did our
side tangent.
Our test episode, episode zero, we called it because we were just figuring out how to do this from a technical standpoint. Actually went off, you know, better than expected, I thought. We had Steve Goody there as a guest, so me and Devo Spice talked to Steve Goody about that. So you can hear that now, and if you want the RSS link to listen to it, go to thefump.com and scan down the page to our news section, and Devo Spice put the links there for either downloading the MP3 or subscribing to the RSS feed. It's both there.
And in the podcast, we at Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport did our first promo. So we'll have it somewhere in this episode, so you may have already heard it, or you will hear it soon.
Indeed.
And
it will be on the Scope.
And it will be on the Scope.
So,
and
yay, Scope. We applaud
you. It
can
be on your podcast as well. So, you know, contact us if you want to play our promo.
You know what I'll do? In the description of this episode, I'll put a link to download the promo and so people can just nab it themselves and play it in their podcasts and such.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, systems. You know, most people who are going to play our promo are going to want us to do something in return, like play their promo.
Well, then they can email it to badreport@gmail.com. Haha. So, anyway, other things. Artbyluksky.com. I'm still looking for parties to do for the summer for caricatures. So if you want me to come to your party and draw caricatures, go to artbyluksky.com and you can find out the details.
If I can give birth to a 5-year-old in the next month, I'll totally hire you for the party.
Yay! Free MP3 of the week at luksky.com is...
Because people give birth to 5-year-olds all the time.
Well, yeah. I was going to make a comment, like, picking on Josh, but it wouldn't have made any sense, and so I'll just drop it.
But here's something that makes sense.
That was completely in context. So, free MP3 of the week at Luxia.com is Wanna Be a Slayer. Tour dates, Nerdapalooza, which is at the Orlando Airport Marriott in Orlando, Florida, July 17th and 18th, 2010,
See?
With pre-party events happening on July 16th, that the pre-party Insane Ian will perform. Also performing at Nerdapalooza would be myself, the Great Luke Ski, as well as Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Positive Attitude, Captain Dan and the Scurvy Crew, Schaefer the Dark Lord, MC Frontalot, and many, many more. Go to nerdapalooza.org for information.
I'm the one who convinced him to put the actual dates and actual physical locations of the conventions rather than assuming that everyone has them memorized like he does.
Yes. Gen Con Indy is happening in Indianapolis, Indiana at the Indianapolis Convention Center, August 5th through 8th, 2010. I'll be performing there, doing my usual judging time portion of the masquerade on Saturday afternoon. I'll also have my own one-hour concert on Saturday night. Also performing there will be Mark Gunn and a group formerly known as Willie's Wenches. They are now known as the Damsels of Dorkington, and they will be there doing several shows throughout the weekend. Just announced this week, their media guest of honor is Will Wheaton.
Oh,
and also Felicia Day, as well as a few other cast members from her show, The Guild.
Okay, I have to go to Gen Con.
That would be cool, because it would be nifty to perform certain songs at Gen Con this year.
Well, I told you to let me know if you needed me to do anything, and so that I could try to plan around
and
being
yes,
there.
I probably will. what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
Well, I'm wearing a perfectly... solid, awesome Carrie pink. It's not too light, it's not too dark. And it has the shiny letters all over it that say Aloha in cursive letters, Hawaii. Then a cute, adorable cartoon girl who's riding a scooter that says I Heart High. In other words, Hawaii. And a couple miscellaneous flowers. So this is the shirt that I wouldn't wear for the last show because... Is this picking me up? This is the shirt that I wouldn't wear for the last show because I wasn't leaving the house, so I didn't want to wear my special shirt just for you and Josh.
Well, all right.
And I was going to sing a couple songs.
Okay, go for it.
So, as most of you know and some of you don't know, on my albums I've always had kitty cat songs. They've always been Buffy kitty songs because my... cat that I've had for the longest time is Buffy. Well, I think I'm going to start singing the new songs just as they come up on this podcast rather than continuing to put them on my albums. Don't Eat Your Boogers. So,
Don't Eat Your Boogers is the name of Carrie's next album.
No. So, I have some Willow songs for my big fat white cat Willow that we semi-rescued in September. And the first ever Willow song that had nothing to do with Buffy songs was since Willow likes to sit at the food bowl and just stare and wait for food to appear, I had a song that went, "It's a part of Willow's food bowl fantasy." And so that's one of the new songs. And the other new Willow song is as a way of describing her body type goes, "I've got a butterball turkey. She's a pink butterball turkey. I've got a butterball turkey named Willow." That's one of my favorite kitty songs I've ever written, so to speak. And then I just made one up for you and Sarah's cat, Chewy, but I don't remember how it goes. Something about pretty kitty, pretty yeah. kitty, pretty kitty.
Who likes to rub against legs.
Likes to rub against, yeah, I don't remember the tune. Well, and you were going to do a quick
I forgot, did you have any other Josh songs, either about Josh or written by Josh?
No, other than the one I shared with you that I can't put on the podcast because it would get us murdered.
Okay. Well, it's not from the caricature stand, but I do have something to talk about that involves ignorance in some way. You may remember from several episodes ago about me going to jail and having to deal with, you know, the police and dealing with speeding tickets and resolving them and getting them off my record and blah, 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 blah. Well, the things was I had to sign up to take the driving lessons thing because I was dealing with two separate tickets, one from recently and one from 3 years ago. The one from three years ago will disappear off my record after October 1st, so long as I don't get pulled over again between now and October 1st. Basically, it was a six-month thing. So, you know, that kind of takes care of itself as long as I don't speed or do anything illegal that would get me pulled over. The other one was like I was doing like 52 and a 40 or something like that, trying to get over to Capricorn to do my show. And, you know, it was, in my opinion, nothing major. I just happened to be the guy that cop freaking caught, you know, driving down the road that day. So I, in order to try to get that one, you know, disappeared from my record, I agreed to take a, you know, driving safety class or whatever. And I noticed when I was, you know, signing up for it at the police station or filling out the form or whatever, that I had the option to take an at-home version for a little bit more money so that I could just do it at home online. So that's what I signed up for, and it gave me until June 20th to get it done. So I basically waited until the week before it was had to be done.
Good boy.
To do it.
That's what you do with that kind of thing.
Yeah. So so it took 4 hours to do.
Ew.
Yeah. That's what I spent most of my day doing yesterday.
I didn't realize it took 4 hours.
It took about, including the test at the end, it took 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And it was interesting because it was like, I don't know if they use Flash to do it or whatever, but it's basically they bring up a bunch of pictures and, you know, words for you to read, but they also have a voice of a woman reading the words on the screen. So it's like one of those kind of to help you better retain your memory. If you're hearing someone read it and you're reading it yourself with your eyes, that helps your brain remember it better, you know. But it also wouldn't let you, like, click ahead to the next thing until the woman got done reading all the text on the page. And it just angered me because there were certain sections I didn't want to do, but I had to do them all in order to completely do the thing. So it's just kind of like, you know, the entire, you know, impaired driving, a.k.a. drunk driving part of the thing. It's like, okay, this is completely irrelevant to me. I don't drink.
I've never been drunk
in my life. I don't intend to be unless I'm in a situation where I know I'm not driving and probably Rob Balder would be involved because Party Rob has said in the past at cons that he wanted to get me drunk.
Yeah, so I'd rather see you stoned. I don't want to see you drunk.
Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, it's just like, do I have to do this? Yes, of course I have to do this because at the end there's a test with 25 questions and I need to know what the answers are to those questions. So I have to sit there and be lectured by a computer voice on all the reasons why it's bad to drink and drive. And I'm just like sitting here like going, fuck you, I fucking don't have it. So,
yeah.
But then like they have a section on, you know, like, you know, distracted driving. Interesting note, I don't know how old this system is, this thing. It must be relatively old because nowhere during distracted driving does it mention texting. Not fucking once. They talk about talking on the phone, but they don't mention texting at all.
Yeah, I have a similar ignorance story, but it's about work, and I don't really talk about work on this, so I'll just tell you later.
And basically, it's like all the different drugs. Basically, it implied, or inferred, whichever one is the correct word, it inferred that people who take antidepressants shouldn't be allowed to drive. Also, people who drink coffee shouldn't be allowed to drive.
What?
Because they're stimulants, you know.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
But, like, in the part on distracted driving, one of the things they talk about is sometimes drivers are distracted by having conversations with other people in the car. You know, you really should, you know, not blah, blah, blah. Don't be distracted. Don't have conversations. It's one of those things where you're, like, dealing with, a third grader. We're going to repeat the same shit over and over again so that you get it through your thick skull that it's not good for you to talk to other people. So it's a distraction when you're driving in your car.
It's kind of like the way I talk where I repeat myself constantly and you're like, I heard you the first time, me.
Yeah. So
is that kind of what it's like? It's kind of like the way I talk then?
Well, no. You don't talk to me. You're not like, you know, I want you to pick me up at 4:37. I'll give you a cookie and a fruit cup if you cook me up at 4:37. 4:37. Luke, are you paying attention? I want a horsey. No, Luke, you need to pay attention. No, so you don't talk to me like that. But the computer is basically, you know, don't talk to other people when you're driving the car. It's a distraction. Then later on, during the impaired driving section, they're talking about being tired can be just as dangerous when you're driving as being drunk. So if you're tired, you really should pull over and get some sleep. Ways to avoid being tired. You could talk to other people in your car. It's like, you just told me eight fucking fucking times not to talk to people in the car.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh, that's terrible.
Anyway, 4 hours and 15 minutes later, I passed the test, and the final thing I saw it say to me was, "You, congratulations, you got 100% by answering 24 out of 25 questions correctly."
It took you four hours and 15 minutes to answer 25 questions?
No, the test...
The percentage should have been 96.
Yes, that's my point. If I got 100%, it should have been 25 out of 25, or it should have been 96% with 24 out of 25.
That was just kind of a rolling ignorance story.
Yeah, kind of.
Kept rolling out new ignorance.
Yeah, it just kind of, and, you know, I was basically, you know, despite all of its things about distraction, it kept telling me, I kept trying to figure out other things I could do or work on while this lady is talking to me, because I just couldn't stand the fact that I was wasting that much time of my day dealing with this. I brushed my teeth, I shaved, I tidied up the room, I was just trying to find other things to do so that, anyway. So
we're going to go on and do the outro thing here.
Outro, so you want to take that, Carrie?
Oh, well, I would like you guys to make comments on the website, which is badrapport.com, or you can also make comments on the Facebooks, you can also make comments on the Twitters. You should call us and leave messages, 916-LUKESKY, that's 916, a bunch of numbers here that I would be able to tell you after he tells you to leave iTunes reviews.
Yes, I checked the iTunes, and we haven't gotten any new reviews lately, so if you haven't done one and you felt like doing one, please go do so. And also, you know, giving us a star rating would be nice, especially if it was 5 stars, but, you know, we're not trying to say that you have to.
And, again, that number is 916-LUKESKY, 916-585-3754. And that's pretty much it. We're going to be going into episode 18, which means we'll be growed up, all growed up next time. Yay!
And I really haven't plugged anybody for the songs we've played, so Devo Spice is at devospice.com. MC Frontalot is at mcfrontalot.com, I'm pretty sure, or just frontalot.com. Will Wheaton, oh man, I didn't look any of these up.
I do not know this. Bad Geek, No Cookie. Google Will Wheaton.
Just Google Will Wheaton, you'll find his blog. Tim Cavanaugh, I'm pretty sure it's timcavanaugh.com.
Which is CAVANAUGH.
Yes, and Molly Lewis.
Possibly mollylewis.com, LEWIS,
yes.
Google it.
And then Paul and Storm, I know, is paulandstorm.com. So, and of course, I don't know if anyone notices this, but in the descriptions for all the shows, when I mention the artists we play, I turn their name into the link to their website. So if any of these I've said out loud happen to be wrong, go to badreport.com and it'll be right there.
And there'll be some nifty image there, too. And I can't believe nobody commented on the image of Josh.
I think they were just like Bill Putt, just like... when they saw it, so.
Oh, Josh is gonna kick your ass. You should probably edit that out.
No, I will not, because I'm lazy and we got other things to do. Anyway, I am Luke.
And I am Carrie.
And this has been
Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Bye.
Bye.
I threw a monster party last Halloween night and invited all the monsters for a fun October fright. All the famous monsters would be making the scene. I figured that my bash would be the year's biggest scream. I put out lots of Chex Mix and some Rice Krispie treats. The skeleton band was kicking out some spooky beats. I headed to the dance floor, ready to get down. But all the monsters just were sort of standing around.
It was a lame monster party.
Hey guys, come on.
It was a lame monster party.
Doesn't anybody want to dance?
The monsters were boring and the party really sucked. And nobody had any fun.
Nobody was boogieing or acting very scary. The zombies kind of roamed around texting on Blackberries. Frankenstein showed pictures from his recent trip to Branson. Wolfman argued macroeconomics with Charlie Manson. When Jason wasn't droning on about Scientology, he talked in painful detail about his vasectomy. But Freddy Krueger took the prize for testing our endurance.
trying to convince the ghost they needed life insurance.
It was a lame monster party.
Anyone for a twister?
It was a lame monster party.
How about karaoke?
The monsters were boring.
As he played his Game Boy, the mummy was doing Sudoku. Dr. Jekyll went and ate up all of the brownies, and Dracula kept checking his MySpace account. Leatherface, who showed up drunk, kept hitting on the witches, and cornered everybody with his Amway sales pitches. The creature from the Black Lagoon was out in the yard, debating with Godzilla about Kirk and Picard. Finally, I knew that it was time to call it quits when Chucky started reenacting Monty Python skits. I learned my lesson, you can bet I won't do that again. Next Halloween, just me and Igor down at Bennigan's.
It was a lame monster party.
No, Igor, I don't want to see your Austin Powers imitation again.
It was a lame monster party.
Oh, put guacamole on the cat.
Party.
Honestly, that's just so boring. Screw it. I'm going to bed.
Well, hey, this is Luke reporting from Westfall. Sarah's obtaining things for virtual people and stuff. Anyway, I just wanted to pop in here real quick and remind you about the whole you pick Luke's Fump thing to please go to badreport.com. The first comment on this episode will be me listing off these songs one more time just as a reminder, but I'll say them here just to refresh your memory. The tracks that I was proposing were called The Day Saturday Night Died, Hoser, It's Good to Be the King, Hercules and Xena, Red Bank, that's the Kevin Smith one, Chicken Nuggets, World Wide Web, Stitch, Serenity, Doomshaker, and Walking Silly. So, whatever ones of those you think are songs you'd want to get behind and encourage me to actually create, please go leave a comment there and let me know what they are. If you just think all those ideas are kind of like, meh, you don't care, please leave a comment and let me know that as well. And depending on what kind of response I get, I may make one or more of these. I may make none of these. I'm just listing it because I'm curious to what you guys think. If any of these are worth the effort, or if I should just leave them in the past and move on. Because I'm fine with doing either. Anyway, that is Bad Rapport, episode 17. Tune in next time when you'll hear Sarah say...
For the horde!
Word.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
You and the Little Mermaid can go... yourself.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.